Welcome to the IFFIS podcast. This is episode 80, the sixth movement reboot edition.
You tripped over because you were still thinking about cereal.
I was thinking about your ridiculous cereal imitation.
Popped my neck and I went snap and what, crackle?
Yeah, you said snap, crack, and I said pop, pop, pop.
Yeah, and I went just follow the white notes.
Go ahead, work your way through the rest of it.
Trying to get my lucky charms. Silly rabbit.
There's one more.
They're great.
All right. Welcome to the show. I'm Brian. Well, yeah, there's plenty more. Who are you? You have a name tag. I am
Count Chocula.
He's Johnny. He's in a mood. You are in a mood.
I've had a lot of sugar today, I think.
Uh-oh. Johnny doesn't metabolize sugar well. Anyway.
Actually, I metabolize sugar pretty well.
So this week on the show, there's no like big topic. We're going to talk about the OA from Netflix because we both finally watched it. You watched it. I finally watched it. But we are going to get caught up on some news. Because
I watched it in like a day.
Did you really?
Almost a day.
It took me
2 days.
Took me over a week, but it wasn't because I didn't enjoy it. Anyway, but we do have some news to talk about because there's been some kind of fun, exciting type of stuff going on. And we wanted to share that with you. So, yeah. All right. So let's start with some Marvel news. On Bleeding Cool, you found this great article, and it made me laugh really, really hard when I read the headline. So we'll read the headline for everyone.
Sure, go ahead.
Marvel to release free guidebook in April to help decipher impossible reading order due to constant relaunches. I thought this was a joke when you sent it to me.
If they would have released it on April 1st, it would have been a great headline.
I thought this was a joke when you sent it to me. Marvel has gotten so convoluted with the constant reboot now, all new now, whatever the next one's going to be, Civil War.
All now new.
Anyway, so coming out this April, they are going to come out with a guidebook. And it's called All New, All Different Marvel Reading Chronology.
And it should have been, it's a secret.
It's 32 pages long. It's going to be free. It's a secret.
Enough said.
Okay, so as someone who is currently reading a fair chunk of Marvel's line right now.
Yeah.
I haven't had a problem, right?
But you confuse me when you talk about stuff.
I do confuse you when I talk about stuff because things are called Volume 1.
Right, yeah. That part I understand. The problem is, like, the story gets convoluted in a way.
Yeah.
And you know,
they make these still weird, like, minor changes, right?
On stuff, so, yeah.
Like, you know, it used to be there was the 616 and the Ultimate Universe. And, like, that was the two main storylines. And they had a bunch of other universes pop up here and there.
Spider-Verse stories and stuff like that.
Well, but now it's not the 616. It's just Earth, right? Like, Marvel
has... Yeah, because they had the Crisis on and what was it? Crisis on Infinite Secret Wars. Oh, God. What else can we throw in there?
Axis.
Oh, no. Crisis on Secret Infinity Wars. Oh, yeah.
Crisis on Secret Infinity Wars Battle of the Axis versus X-Men.
No, you should have said Ultimate Battle.
But it all has to end with versus X-Men because everyone is against the X-Men.
Yeah.
Avengers versus X-Men. Inhumans versus X-Men. X-Men versus X-Men. Just
Magneto versus X-Men.
Cyclops versus X-Men. Anyway, no, I think this is a good idea. But at the same time, the six issues as a volume and then starting over with a new number one is getting old. So Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
When did the movie come out? 3 years ago?
Yeah, three. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds right.
In the last 3.5 years, Guardians has restarted at least 3 times.
Wow.
And when...
Is it ending again soon, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it ended. It already started over again. It's Guardians Grounded. And they've kind of split
I meant they're ending it again when Bendis leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's leaving after Grounded.
Right.
So it'll end again.
Sorry. But, like... Anyway, you have...
The next storyline is called Detention.
Attention.
Detention.
Detention. Okay.
They're grounded because they got detention. Okay.
Suspension.
Ah, there you go.
Followed expulsion. By expulsion.
which will be an X-Men crossover.
Guardians versus X-Men. Expulsion.
Expulsion.
Well, they're all spacefaring anyway.
Trademark.
TM. Thank you, Phil Dunphy.
If you want me to write the story, I can.
Yeah, I have it. I have it written down. I need access to the Shi'ar, the Kree, and the Skrulls.
Yeah, that'll work. Oh, yeah, I need Galactus, too. Can I get Galactus?
Mm. And
but he's going to be spelled Galactus with an X.
And Thanos' kid brother, Manos.
Manos? Anyway. No. Oanos.
All right. No,
keep
so
it
Guardians.
Going. Keep it going.
I can't. I've had a long day. Anyway, but no. It's just been this constant thing, and the thing is most of the books don't really change other than like a minor tweak, right? The only books that really went through a wholesale change was the Ultimate line, when they essentially got rid of the universe and saved Miles Morales. And a few other Ultimates.
What?
But
Ultimate Reed Richards.
Well, he was just in Secret War. Is he still around?
Yeah, he's around. He's
I don't read the Ultimates. So
No, he popped up in what is the X-Men book with Sunspot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in the first few issues of
he
that.
He was. You're right. Because, yeah.
And I've read that him and Dr. Doom are going to be going up against each other.
An infamous Iron Man. Nice.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, which has been interesting. Because
Iron Man, I mean, Dr. Iron Doom. What?
Iron Doom?
Dr. Iron Doom.
Doom Man.
No. I like Dr. Iron Doom, actually. Like Dr. Iron Doom versus Reed Richards, the Fixer.
There you go. But yeah, like I said, this is
Miles
a good idea.
Miles Morales will appear in this story along with Peter Parker and the rest of the Marvel Universe. Versus X-Men.
Yeah, there you go. But no, like, you have Jane Foster as Thor.
Yes.
And her storyline has largely gone unchanged, right?
Yeah.
But then you have Odinson.
Right.
Which he just goes by Odinson. And he's all over the place. And he's finally got a title, Unworthy Thor.
Right.
Which is badass. Beta Ray Bill's in it.
Yeah.
So I'm always happy when I have more.
And that's
Beta
the story I'll wait for the trade on that.
Yeah, thing. And it's only it's either 4 or 6.
Right.
But it's really good and the art's awesome and everything. But
and it's Jason Aaron, so yeah, I know it'll be good.
Jason Aaron might be my favorite modern Thor writer.
Yeah. Yeah. He's up there with Walt.
Yeah. I was about to say all time, but then I was like, oh, Walt.
He's up there with Walt and amazing. He's up there with Jack and Stan. I mean, Jack and Stan wrote some crazy stories. So.
But anyway, so there's that. But like Venom. Venom's a great example. Like that one's been
space
rebooted.
Venom.
He was in space and then but like now Flash Thompson is not gonna be Venom, Agent Venom anymore. It's gonna be Eddie Brock again.
What's happening in the Flash?
I don't know. I haven't read it. So when they said he wasn't gonna be Venom anymore, I was like, okay, I don't care anymore. Because I really liked Flash Thompson as Venom. Especially with the take on it as Venom was a good guy.
Well, it's one of those things where why couldn't they keep him as a Venom and have another Venom that's Eddie Brock again?
Yeah, why not? Well, Eddie Brock was anti-Venom. See, like, this is the whole thing. Like, this is why they need this book.
We've got to sell action figures.
Ooh, anti-Venom was a cool action figure.
Yeah.
So, all right. So there's that. And then in more X-Men news, Fox has decided to officially order the pilot for the X-Men series. And then news broke today that Bryan Singer is going to direct said pilot.
But is it going to take place in said universe or is it going to take place in another universe? And why can't Marvel just sue them and take back everything? Why don't Disney just buy Fox?
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's part of a project between 20th Century Fox and Marvel Television. So,
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover.
Daredevil. Punisher.
Yeah. Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover.
What's it? War Van? What's his van called? Battle Van?
What Battle Van?
The Punisher.
Oh, the Battle Van?
Yeah, the Battle Van. They just parked the Battle Van in the...
In the background somewhere?
Yeah. But this show is going to be written and executive produced by Matt Nix. And if that name doesn't sound familiar, you might not be familiar with the Sunglasses and Smiles channel.
What the hell are you talking about?
USA. He was the executive producer and showrunner for Burn Notice.
Oh, okay.
So
Jesus Christ.
I took a long way to get there with a bad joke.
Did.
I apologize.
Yeah, you did.
Anywho, this is replacing Hellfire, which was a show that was in development that was going to focus on the Hellfire Club. But
which would have been more interesting.
Faded probably. Away. It started its production at the same time, or the process at the same time as Legion.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of went away. Now, this is going to be tied into Legion a bit, I guess. It says here, Nyx's X-Men television series is said to be more directly tied to the X-Men mythology than Legion, which uses the character David Haller as a jumping off point, blah, blah, blah. So, like, they're going to, like, kind of tie it in, kind of not. But, like, they're both on Fox, essentially, because FX and
right.
and Fox are all Fox.
Well, and they said so. That Legion's not tying to the movie universe, so they're setting right. up another X-Men. Here we go again! Movie X-Men versus TV X-Men versus Legion. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. X-Men.
Featuring Elektra. With special appearances by Stick.
Rob Liefeld appears in all episodes.
And he doesn't have Rob feet. Liefeld.
No. Every time he walks in, there's just a mist that comes in with him.
So you don't have to see his feet.
He has feet.
I don't. What do you think?
I can honestly say.
Yeah, I know. I saw him too.
Rob Liefeld has feet.
Congratulations, Rob.
I spoke to him.
You have feet.
Yeah. I sold him comic books.
Did you see who's coming to the expo?
I seen John Ratzenberger's coming to the expo.
And Greg.
Capullo?
Capullo. Yeah. That's exciting. All right. So how
still
do
waiting
you
for
feel?
That big name. It's the Stan Lee big name.
Wasn't that John Ratzenberg?
They dug Jack Kirby up.
They reanimated Jack Kirby.
I would. Right.
What do you think of an X-Men TV series? That's tied to the movie universe. And which set of movies do you want it tied to? Do you want it set to the Wolverine movies? Do you want it set to the original three? Or do you want it set to the Days of Future Past, First Class timeline?
Let's not tie it to any of them. Let's do an original that's tied to Legion. That way it's its own universe. Because beginning to feel what, you know, even though they mentioned Chitauri on Netflix universe, we haven't seen anybody.
Agent, S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Nobody from... I mean, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's not. That's the easiest crossover in the world between ABC and Netflix doing a S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, Netflix series crossover, and we haven't even seen that.
True.
That's not that hard. Coulson,
yeah,
Coulson's all over.
I don't understand why Coulson is not just the fabric of all the TV universe.
But, right.
I don't. Okay.
I would like to see an original X-Men group that uses characters from throughout the history of
the
X-Men.
So who's your team?
I think Colossus should be in there, even though that would be expensive.
No, it really wouldn't, though, because Nick Zano's character is essentially Colossus on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, like, on the Invisible Man back in the
but
90s.
But I wonder how much they're spending on him.
But they did that. They did that, the Glimmer thing on, you know, Darian Fox and Invisible Man in the 90s. And
yeah,
it
that's
fine,
true.
So
yeah.
I don't think that's as expensive
so
as you think.
Colossus.
Okay.
Nightcrawler.
Okay.
Essentially, it's going to be the team that was the replacement
size.
Team, the giant size team. So it would be Colossus, Nightcrawler, Storm. I think John Proudstar would be a good one, an American Indian actor, you know, on a show. Team leader, I want to say Beast.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though he's a supervillain.
Well, not the Dark Beast.
Regular Beast is a supervillain.
No, he's just an Inhuman now.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Oh, an asshole.
Yeah. But I think Beast would be a decent leader.
Okay.
And Iceman.
And Iceman. So those seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seven characters. Star Trek, Next Generation kind of thing. Villain, Mr. Sinister. It's an easier villain to use than Magneto.
Well, and the cool thing
Apocalypse.
About Mr. Sinister, too, is like you can take... the Claremont way Sinister was introduced and not even show him until the end of the first season.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sinister, Pyro.
So, well, here's the thing.
Blob.
Is you can't have Sinister
You can without use Sinister without Scott.
No, no, without a Summers.
No, no Summers. Okay, Rachel. There you go. Rachel Summers.
From Rachel Gray was my first pick.
Yeah. Rachel Summers from the future.
So, interesting. So, I go Rachel,
mm-hmm.
Kitty Pryde.
Sure.
Gambit.
Okay.
Mainly because people are going to watch it because Gambit, not because I'm especially a huge fan of Gambit.
Well, you don't like that, Mon Cheri? You don't want somebody trying to talk with a Cajun accent and can't do it?
No, no. So, okay, I lost train of thought.
Okay,
Rachel, Kitty Pryde, Gambit.
What was his name? John Carter? What was John Carter?
Oh, Taylor Kitsch.
What was his Friday night? Like?
Riggins.
Tim Riggins as Gambit. I'm going to try and talk with the accent, but I just am going to talk with is it okay if I use the Tim Riggins accent? Yeah, that's fine.
He's Canadian accent, too, because yeah, he's Canadian. Fine. Okay. So, Rachel, Kitty.
Mm-hmm. Limited to 7.
Yeah. So, Rachel, Kitty. Who is my third? I just forgot.
Gambit.
Gambit. Thank you.
Gambit, mon chéri. Don't you know?
And then because Kitty's there, I go with it's Colossus.
Yes.
And Kitty's a little older than normal. And Colossus is 19 still, so you can have that relationship.
Oh, you want Kitty to be 17, 18?
I'll even go with 16. But, like, you know, where they have that relationship.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so that's 4.
So you're doing some young X-Men and some older X-Men.
And then I'm going to throw in Quentin Quire.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because he is just, like, you know, the special spice that makes every soup great.
Right.
And then I go with Sunspot.
Yeah.
And Danny Moonstar.
Okay.
So those are my 7. And then for my villain, I go William Stryker.
Oh, you want a human villain.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then I want, because I think in the current like landscape of things,
mm-hmm.
that plays well because you have a good mix of characters
right
in there that pop up and have like different, like, you know, Kitty's Jewish, you know, that kind of stuff.
I would rather have Storm as my team leader.
Yeah. And then my team leader, because you had my team leader out of that group would be Kitty.
Yeah.
And then I would have Ileana Rasputin show up in season 2.
Yeah. Because her brother's in the story.
I would recognize that Storm, Iceman, Beast, Angel, and Jean.
Yeah.
And Scott.
Existed at some point.
They were there, and they have gone off.
Ooh, like there's your Shi'ar tie-in.
They're in space or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
So they have gone somewhere else, and you know there are other
adults. Really
wanted
to be brave about it,
yeah,
and just screw with people
because it is
a alternate universe, yeah. But you could still use actors from the other stuff.
Yeah,
have James Marsden come in as Cyclops and recruit everybody.
Yeah.
And then say, we're leaving.
Yep.
We're gone.
So, and they go with Xavier. Yep. Like, you know, you can even do the Xavier faked death thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, he died, so we got to go into space. You know, we don't know why, but we just have to because, you know, God knows that storyline happened more than once.
Hey, you know.
But no, I don't think they'll do that. They don't have anything about casting in here or anything, but I worry that it's on Fox because we're not going to get it in the
Friday
proper
nights.
You know what, though? I think if they put something like that on Friday nights and they own it and they're like, hey, this is a Friday night show.
10 episodes.
We know you're not going to watch it live.
Yeah.
You're going to watch it on Hulu or you're going to DVR it or you might even wait for Netflix.
Right.
You know, we're fine with that. We want this thing to be streamed over and over again.
Right.
10 episodes. Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, if it's good, do 10 episodes again in the spring.
Right.
That's season 2. And like just run it like the British TV shows with the cycles instead of the, you know, the series.
Yeah.
And everyone's a different, you know, series, but still tied together.
Right.
But no, this will get made. It will look like that weird ass live action Australian one.
Mm-hmm.
That there was the pilot it was the one where Wolverine was Australian. You never saw that?
I don't think so.
It's bad.
The only like X-Men.
It's like Fantastic Four, the first
Roger Corman.
Thank you. I watched Death Race 2050. How do I not remember? It was like Roger Corman bad with like the effects and stuff.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And Wolverine talked like this. Put some shrimp on the snicked.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah, it was bad. Anyway,
the only like X-Men besides the movies that I recall is the Mutant X TV series that had John Shea and I don't even remember anybody else.
A bunch of unknown teenage actors who never did anything.
I just thought it was unusual that they cast Lex Luthor from Lois and Clark to play
a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was like right off of Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he had died, quote unquote.
Dun dun dun. All right, so I don't know. I would give it a shot.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm hoping that it doesn't happen just because of Fox's track record.
So, you know.
Anyway, now again, if it were gonna go to FX,
yeah,
sure, hell yeah.
Or FXX.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Or FXXXXXXXXX.
Versus
the X-Men.
FC.
IFC.
There you go.
What's wrong with you? All right. So talking some movie news now. Hellboy 3.
Yeah.
So I distinctly remember in November reading an interview with Ron Perlman where he said, essentially, give it up. It's never going to happen.
And then Guillermo del Toro puts out a Twitter post asking, do you want it?
Yeah.
Like, duh?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Wrap that thing up because she was pregnant at the end of Hellboy 2. We want to see a Hellboy baby. Was.
A half-breed Hellboy baby at that. You know, I would like to see that. And, you know, well, I love that his poll, Guillermo del Toro's poll, right?
Yeah.
There were two choices.
Right.
Yes and hell yes.
Yeah.
And hell yes got 68% of the vote.
Well, sure, yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, he did a really good job building up a universe that had already been around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he did more with it, you know, in two movies than most people would do with one movie for something comic book wise.
Right.
He made a not a second string, but like a independent comic book character, a mainstream comic book character.
This is what they should have done with Spawn.
Yeah.
With Image. Although I do like the point that this article from Movie Pilot points out is he's taking the first steps towards producing Hellboy 3.
Sure.
So I wonder who they would get to direct Hellboy 3.
Him.
You think he will?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like Pacific Rim or anything. I mean, he's just a co-creator of Pacific Rim, so it's like understandable that he didn't want to do the sequel and that. But this is something where, you know, it's kind of what made him who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's. I mean,
you know, everything he did before that was awesome too. But you know, I really liked Mimic, and you know, I didn't watch a lot of his. Mexican stuff, but you know, I don't know. I watched Crimson Peak and I'm like, yeah, he could do straight up more Hellboy because Crimson Peak was like a
Hellboy light,
Hellboylish type movie.
Just say Hellboylish.
Hellboylish? And you think we'll get Jax in the Hellboy 3 movie.
Well, yeah, we probably will.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get Wesley Snipes. That would be kind of cool.
Could he be Blade?
Yeah, crossover. Wesley Snipes as Spawn.
I liked Michael Jai White as Spawn.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He could come back as Spawn.
Jai Courtney as Spawn.
Now I'm just really confused.
I don't know. Oh, but Robert Downey Jr. as his character from Tropic Thunder as Spawn.
Mm. There you go.
Anyway.
I've only seen that movie once. He was a British actor who dyed his pigmentation.
He underwent a surgery to dye his skin, you know.
But he had done a lot of like movies where he was one of those actors who immersed himself in it.
He's like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. So they showed like a lot of weird stuff he had done. Yeah. And then he does this and the black guy that's the the co-star.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it. And he's like, you people, and
what do you mean, you people? Well,
and then the real black actor goes, "What do you mean? What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?"
That movie is great. If you haven't watched that lately, you definitely need to go watch that. Anyway, I tell you what, I loved Hellboy.
Yeah,
I'm lukewarm about Hellboy 2. just because I thought it was kind of a Pan's Labyrinth, which I know is him as well.
Yeah.
Kind of rippy offy thing with the, some of the special effects and creatures.
Yeah.
On
to me, it felt more like, oh God, what was the name of that story? There's a Neil Gaiman story called Neverwhere.
Yeah.
And that's what Hellboy felt like it was crossing over with that. Because in Neverwhere, there's a lot of weird creatures. And I'm like, okay, I can get with that.
Like, so I've watched Hellboy 2 a couple times since my first viewing, obviously. Sure. And like, I like it. But I don't have the affinity for it that I have with Hellboy 1.
Right. Hellboy 1 is more accessible.
I think Hellboy 1, as someone who... I'm a casual Hellboy reader.
Right.
I will read specific arcs. I love Abe Sapien.
Sure.
So I will definitely go after like Abe's stories.
Right.
I like the BRPD. I said that right. No. Yeah. BPR.
BPRD.
Yeah, BPR. I said it right. Yeah. BPRD. I like the BPRD stuff. You know, I really like it when Hellboy's on like the fringe of the story.
Right.
And then I loved Hellboy in Hell.
Yeah.
That was such a great arc, and it's a shame it took so long to get out.
Would you like to see like the stories they've done where they could do a Hellboy in 1953 type story? Like Hellboy in the BPRD in 1953?
No, because I would like to see them continue I would like to see the story continue.
Yeah.
Just because I don't feel like it ever came to a conclusive end.
Right.
Now they could do one more with Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Finish out that and then go back to Hellboy 1942.
And cast a younger actor.
Yeah, younger actor that would be cool too. Clive Owen, he's not doing anything.
Yeah, I don't think he's young.
No, I guess he's younger than Ron Perlman. But
Jax Teller as a young Hellboy.
Oh God,
that's his new person.
Yeah.
He had the guy that was in Blade 2 that played the Uber vampire.
Yeah.
And then that guy showed up in Hellboy 2 as the Prince of Gold or whatever, you know, the Golden Prince. And it's like, okay. And then now he's got, and I can't remember the actor's name, Jax. I can't remember.
Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie Hunnam. That's it. King Arthur.
You know what? The more I see the previews for that, the more I want to see it.
You're going to be kind of disappointed.
Oh, I know. Absolutely.
It's going to be like Sherlock and Man from U.N.C.L.E. because it's the same.
I was going to say, like every recent Guy Ritchie movie, I'm going to go in and be like, why did I get my hopes up again? So, like,
don't go in with your hopes up. Go in with your hopes at a low point. Go and you'll come in and you'll be like, that was the greatest movie ever.
Expect Man from U.N.C.L.E., but hope for Snatch.
It looks like it's got some of Snatch in it.
Well, yeah. So, me and the lads.
Me and the lads were down doing a job.
So he was in a...
And then there's a sword in the stone, and I decided to pull it out. All right.
He pulled sword from stone. Do you remember Undeclared?
No, I never watched it, but I seen a picture of him.
He's in Undeclared,
like,
right?
Crap.
He's this tiny, scrawny little British kid, and he speaks in his normal accent, which... When you listen to it, it's like...
No, you know what this most screwed up role of him is... what you call it?
Pacific
Children
Rim.
Of Men.
Is he in Children of Men?
He's in Children of Men.
So that's on HBO right now.
Yeah.
And I have never seen that movie. And that's been
one I want to see.
That? I know. And I love Clive Owen, too. I did not realize Charlie Hunnam was in that. I'm going to watch that this weekend.
You won't even...
I will now, but...
No, you will not. Seriously, I've seen it twice, and I still go, where's he at?
Okay.
But he's there. He's one of the main characters, and I'm like, that's Charlie Hunnam.
Is it like Tom Cruise in Young Guns 2?
Was Tom Cruise in Young Guns
2? No, that's just a rumor.
Oh,
that,
okay.
Like, people are like, oh,
no, he's in this scene. He's in the credits and everything.
Nice. Yeah,
but I won't tell you who he is.
That's fine. Do not.
Yeah.
Children of Men was one I wanted to go see in the theater.
Dude, there's a scene in there that's just like one of the greatest movie scenes ever.
Sweet. All right.
It's kind of like what was the Kevin Costner movie?
Waterworld?
Open Range. Open Range.
Oh, yeah.
So in Open Range, there's this, and I found out about this. Scotty Young used to be on a podcast called Around Comics back in the day when when podcasting first came out.
When it was popular, before we got into it.
Right, yeah. Well, he was on it, like he would be on because he lived in Chicago and the guys knew him and they would bring him on. And they were talking about movies that were good. And he's like, this He goes, this has one of the greatest shootouts. Huh?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
And one of the greatest shootouts.
He's like, one of the greatest shootout scenes in a Western. And I'm like, oh, well, I got to see this.
Like, better than Tombstone?
Oh, dude. It's I think they shot it in one shot.
Better than Unforgiven?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a good movie, too.
Better than No Country for Old Men?
I've never seen that one.
There's your
And that's
movie
not a
homework.
Western.
Kinda.
No, it's not.
Better than Westworld?
Did Westworld really have a real shootout? Which one are you talking about?
When she killed all those people with the gun.
Oh, that was awesome. That's just a that was slaughter. Awesome. No, this one's like, you know, good guys versus bad guys shootout. Okay. And
better than Cowboys versus Aliens?
Yes.
You know what's better than Cowboys versus Aliens?
Pretty much most things.
Everything except for Lord of Illusions.
No, screw you. I like Lord of Illusions.
I hated that movie. Okay. All right. So I will watch Children of Men.
I didn't like
Men.
Cowboys and Aliens that much. I seen that in the theater.
That was
I think I own
bad.
That and I don't
I'm
think
sure
I've
you
watched
do.
It.
It's probably still got the shrink wrap on it.
No, I think I watched it once.
I'm sorry.
There are movies with shrink wrap on it that I discovered the other day. That
When I cleaned this whole shelf area
yeah,
up,
yeah.
I had five seasons of Smallville that I'd never opened.
There you go.
So. And now it's on Hulu, and I'm like, crap, why did I waste all my money buying these years
because
ago?
It didn't exist at that point. God.
I know, but I couldn't have been more forward.
Put it this way. The government did not figure out that part of the UFO that crashed at Roswell that had streaming in it until just a few years ago.
Okay. All right.
Conspiracy.
Hellboy 3, we're both thumbs up on that. All right.
Well, sure.
Now, there was Star Wars news this week.
Yeah.
Big Star Wars news.
Yeah.
It got the title for episode 8.
They stole the title from a comic book from 1980-something.
Yes.
There is a comic book that says The Last Jedi on it.
I know. And you shared it. And Joe shared a book. Joe shared another thing, too.
Joe shared it, and then I...
Yeah. But the funny thing is I saw this... I guess I'll call it a meme.
Mm-hmm.
And it was episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
The Force Awakens.
Yeah,
The Last Jedi from his nap.
Oh, okay. I seen the one where... It's The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, to make money for Disney.
I like that one, too. I like From His Nap, though. That was my buddy Stuart who shared that. Anyway, yeah, so it's called The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And then, you know Josh Gad, the actor Josh Gad, right?
I haven't watched that Daisy Ridley video.
Oh,
yet.
My God, it's so funny. And he's like, I can tell you about Frozen 2.
Yeah, oh,
like
sure.
He's
yeah,
trying
right.
to trade and... And she's,
trade information.
Yeah, she's just having none of it. That was it was a fun little video, that one. But
I could tell you what happens in Beauty and the Beast live action movie.
Oh, is he? Oh yeah.
He's playing LeFou. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, a weird combination.
Yeah. Oh, the whole like Beauty and the Beast is interesting, like because it seems like they just took the script from the cartoon.
Well, they said this one will be the closest to the original animated. The casting is weird to me. Yeah. Angela Lansbury's still around.
Yeah, why not?
You
could have
had
Mrs.
her
Potts.
Come in and play Mrs. Potts. I mean, David Ogden Stiers is still alive. The only one you would have had to cast would have been Lumiere because Jerry Orbach passed away.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but Ewan McGregor's French accent is just not that good.
No. All right. So
she could be the one.
So episode 8.
Episode 8.
Thoughts. What are your thoughts?
Where's the trailer?
Yeah.
Where's the trailer?
Yeah.
Where's the teaser trailer that should have been on the front of Rogue One?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but the movie was done. The special effects weren't done, but you could have done a little...
A teaser?
Yeah, and so, I would have been like...
Or they could have done a teaser end credit thing.
The teaser will be on Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
So people will go see Beauty and the Beast because it's one of those ones where it's like... Because
everyone's on the fence. I saw it already. I saw the cartoon. Yeah, yeah. I'm not... I don't really care about
Matthew
Crawley.
I want to go see
Crawley.
It just because I want to see Emma Watson sing.
Yeah, like Hermione Granger just doesn't do it for me, so... I mean, that's what people are saying, not me.
Oh,
don't give me that look.
I was wondering what was wrong.
Well, I said Matthew Crawley, too. You didn't catch that.
I caught that. How about
Crawley,
this for a twist
Legion.
Ending on that movie? He doesn't turn back into a human.
No, he turns into the Legion.
Oh,
it just segues right into Legion. Nice. That's like it's the prequel for Legion.
And then he wrecks the car and dies.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then Edith comes out and shoots Mary Crowley in the face.
Then the X-Men show up and it's the X-Men versus Downton Abbey.
Dude, there's no way Downton Abbey would kill them.
Maggie Smith would take them all
they
out
would just, like, they'd,
with
they'd,
insults.
They would just snark them to death and then take them to tea. And then they'd be, the X-Men would be like, what's
greatest
the
greatest episode ever?
That might get me to go back and watch more of Downton Abbey. So,
I like Downton
Abbey. I like Downton Abbey too. I'm not kidding. I'm not. Okay.
We watched The Crown.
Yeah, that's one. Well, okay, so I tried to get Angel to watch The Crown, right?
Okay.
And she won't watch it because of you.
Why?
Because of our Winston Churchill jokes.
Churchill. They should have cast somebody else. John Lithgow, he does a decent job, but he's too big.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
too big of an actor or too
no,
big?
No, too big. Oh, like, too big
tall.
Of a person.
He's so tall,
he's, yeah. And I was reading the trivia, and they said that they had to adjust the door on their set for 10 Downing Street because he's 6'1".
Yeah.
But he's hunched over all the time, and I'm like, okay.
Well, I mean, the problem is most...
He does have an episode that's like, you know, one of those, like, he should be nominated for something in there. But I'm like, it was a decent series.
Speaking of nominated, the Oscar nominations came out this week.
I don't care.
And, I absolutely...
Congratulations to the special effects people. They got nominated.
Congratulations to the animation.
The animation.
But I think of the Oscars the same way as the Grammys at this point. Yeah. Like, they're not going to nominate anything popular.
Right.
They're only nominating these, like, cheeseball movies that open in New York and L.A. that nobody gets to see
anywhere.
Did they
not nominate your movie that you went and seen with Jeff Bridges?
Oh, Hell or High Water.
Did they nominate that at all?
Yeah.
Did
he got nominated for Best Supporting Actor, but like, honestly, like Ben Foster, was freaking awesome in that movie.
Didn't get nominated. No.
I think he got hurt because he did that movie, and then Inferno came out like 2 weeks later, and
oh, was he
a month later, and that was a piece of garbage. But anyway, so no, I tell you one cool movie thing real quick though. We watched Hidden Figures last weekend.
Hidden Figures,
the NASA movie with the African American female, like, you know, workers of NASA.
Right, yeah.
Man, you want to talk about an awesome movie and a movie that is perfect for right now about
did it
empowering
get nominated?
People. It got nominated for Best Original or Best Adaptation.
Okay.
And then Octavia Spencer got nominated.
Okay.
And of the three of them, she was good. Don't get
me
wrong.
Yeah, she's good.
She should not have gotten that. Like,
oh, really?
Janelle Monáe should have absolutely been nominated for an Oscar. And then Tajari, or how do you say it?
You got it close to
Zuri
right.
P. Henson.
Yeah,
should have been nominated for Best Actress.
Yeah,
and honestly, of the movies that
she's
I've
awesome.
Seen, of the movies that I have seen this year,
yeah.
that are Oscar nominated, I've seen all but maybe three.
Yeah,
she had one of my favorite characters of all of 2016.
Cool.
So
cool.
Or whatever you know this Oscar crop. So, all right, okay, Star Wars Episode Eight gets a title. Jedi's
everybody
last one,
you know. Okay,
you know.
Everybody likes to blow up everything when you know it gets a title, and I'm like, I was literally like, who cares?
Well, Jedi's plural,
but
it's not just a singular word.
The thing is,
you know?
Is I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I was like, who cares?
Yeah.
Because my thing is where's the trailer?
Show me.
Yeah,
like you look at like what Rebels did this past week.
Yeah,
man.
But I'm like
I almost
trailer?
When you texted me and said, what are we going to talk about this week?
Yeah.
I'm sure you expected me to just reply Rebels.
No.
Really? Because that's really what, like, all I wanted to talk about.
Are you talking about the Darksaber thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I went back and watched all the Clone Wars episodes with the Darksaber in it.
Oh, okay.
Just trying to, like, you know, piece things together. But, yeah, no, I'm excited for this movie, but, like, I think the other Star Wars properties have picked up the slack so much that like the main Skywalker movies for me, it's like I still like love it. I'm still excited for it and everything,
sure.
But I want to see more stuff like Rogue One.
Yeah.
I want more of the anthology. I want the bigger universe.
Right.
You know, and you know, because and you're right here with me.
Yeah.
Like we're pretty big fans of the EU.
Yeah.
Or whatever, the legacy, whatever it's
the
called.
Legends. Or whatever. Yeah.
But, you know, the expanded universe for us for 20 years.
Well, they're mining it now. I mean, they're taking what's the good parts of it,
which I'm fine with.
Right.
So, anyway,
All right. I mean, that whole thing with Tar Vizsla was something mined from the EU stuff. I mean, you know.
Well, all of a sudden, Knights of the Old Republic is canon again.
Right, yeah.
So, which I knew that wasn't going to go along without becoming
Thousand fanboys screamed all at once, and I felt it.
And then they were silenced because their moms told them to be quiet and shut the basement door.
Yeah, there you go. No, they were silenced because all what you heard next was click, 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 click.
Your phone clicks?
No, game controllers.
All right, you want to talk about the OA?
Sure.
Or as I like to call it, the OA.
I will come over the table.
All right. Now, before...
Or should I correct you like I corrected you before? The OA is not right.
Yeah.
OA is a place, not a thing.
I know. All right, so
David, if you're back in Ohio, we'll just get him out in the backyard and kick him a few times.
All right. So this was one I said at the end of last year. It was one I was looking forward to watching.
Sure. Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to watch it until last week. It took me about a week to watch it.
Fair. That's a fair time.
Mainly because I had a bunch of other stuff I was watching.
Well, yeah, and it's a very broad story.
I could not watch more than one episode at a time.
Oh, wow. See, I was plowing through them.
This got...
Was it 10 episodes?
Eight.
Okay. So I watched 5 episodes in one day and 3 episodes the next day. Wow. And one of them was only a half hour long, which confused me even more.
Well, the first one was an hour and a half long.
The first one's an hour and a half long, but there's one where it's like just a little part of the story. Yeah.
Like, I watched the first one, and then I didn't watch it again.
Let's not
like
spoil it
days.
Either.
No, I'm not going to spoil too much.
Yeah.
Like, maybe little things here and there.
Sure.
But, This got, like, I heard people comparing this to Stranger Things.
No, I didn't
well,
feel that.
Well, just because, and I don't feel that either. But they were saying because, you know, it was the kids and, you know, the supernatural powered girl. But here's the thing. These were not kids.
Oh, they were doing the direct comparison.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, these were not kids. They were high schoolers. Plus, you had Phyllis from The Office thrown in there.
That was
randomly,
so awesome.
Which was great.
At first, I was like, oh, is she just going to be in this episode? And then I'm like, she's going to be in this whole thing.
And then you get Riz Ahmed showing up.
Yeah.
Who, from The Night Of and Rogue One and just like anything that he's in, like... For me, raises up a bar because I love him. I think he's a great actor, and I want to see him in way more stuff.
Sure.
But the Britt Marling, who plays the OA, man, she is in this.
What's her real name? Prairie Johnson.
Prairie Johnson. Her real name is like Nadia or something.
Yeah,
like
that, That's what I'm saying. Don't spoil that part of the story.
Britt Marling is a beautiful, beautiful woman. Just hands
and she
down,
co-created
right?
this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's her and what is it? Zal Batmangali.
Yeah.
I don't know how you say his last name, but Batman is the majority of his name. So,
right.
That's how I pronounce it. They are a producing and writing team who have done a ton of indie stuff.
Oh, okay.
So,
that makes me want to.
Yeah, like I definitely like going to check out. They've done a lot of Sundance stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, so
I do not have a problem with Sundance.
No, not at all. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She, at certain points of this show, is so awkward and off-putting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That it's like, wow. Like, she reaches deep as an actress.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I get the feeling she's pretty odd. Like, I went
and
watched a couple interviews
she's,
with her.
She's an artist.
She's super creative.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not sure if her and Zal are a couple or not, or just like writing partners. Like, there's that show on HBO, High Maintenance, where the creators they're actually a couple well. And like, but you don't get that when you first listen to an interview with them, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, we're a couple," and it's like, "Nice, cool." You know, this is awesome. So I don't know that about them. And like, honestly, I purposely didn't go and delve into these people's personal lives on Wikipedia.
Sure.
Because I feel like it would take away. But no, Prairie Johnson is an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't a spoiler, but kind of her arc at the beginning, right, is she reappears.
Yeah,
she's
you
can
got, say like what's
she has
in
weird
the trailer.
Scars on her back.
Yeah.
You know, she's not a she doesn't remember who she is at first. And then you get Herschel and the Borg Queen showing up at a
hospital.
Scott
Wilson and Alice Creek.
And I have an Alice Creek thing in a second. But they get there and she's like, I don't know who these people are. Yeah. And then she has her touch her face and it's like, is she blind?
That's the thing. It's like, you're like, wait a minute. The whole time she's talking to the nurse and this part I will spoil. When it opens up with her running across a bridge and jumping. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, you go to a hospital and she's in the hospital and like they said she did jump and survived. And it's an like, NDE. Okay, she's talking to the nurse and everything. And then her mom and dad walk in and she's like, I don't recognize them. And then she sits down and lets her touch her face and she goes, Mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait,
hold on. We just watched her jump. So, wait. But okay. So,
and she's got scars on her back. Right. That's another thing that's like a disturbing thing.
Like, where did they come from?
Right.
Is this? Anyway, but you learn really quickly that she's been missing for 7 years.
Yep.
And she was blind when she left.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where I'm going to leave the majority of her. And she calls herself the OA.
Yeah. But she doesn't tell them that she's going by the OA. She just goes by Prairie because that's what they want to know.
Prairie Johnson.
Yeah.
Horrible name.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like that. I think that's partly what's off-putting about
at school.
Yeah. So, hey, Little House.
Yeah.
And then you have with her this group of kids that she recruits.
My
Alice Creek thing.
Yeah.
She looks really old in this.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how old she really is.
She's old, but she's
I'm not ready for Alice Creek to start looking old.
I mean, her and Scott Wilson are probably around the same age. If you go back and watch some of his early stuff and you see him now, you're like, whoa,
is that even the same person?
Wait a minute.
But she was Paul Atreides' mom in Children of Dune. On So I'm not ready to not see her like that.
Right.
But she was great in this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Scott Wilson.
Wilson is very subtle in this,
but
subtlety is what like makes it awesome.
And the thing that happens to him at the end with Nancy, Alice Creek's character, it's his reaction. It's like that's exactly how this guy would react. But watching this, it made me long for the days of Herschel on The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
and if they were going to skew anything from the book, it should have been keeping Herschel alive.
Yeah.
Kill Carol. Kill Daryl. Kill
Rick. I heard he's been awesome on... What's he been on? The Exorcist?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's a Fox show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been playing...
Is he a priest?
I think he's playing a priest on there, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, it makes me curious to watch that show, but not curious enough to seek it out.
Sure. Yeah. But you have these kids, right? And
some of them are irredeemable...
The one and here's the part of the show I had a problem with.
Yeah,
I never felt like I learned any of the kids' names.
I don't think you needed to.
But the one with the blonde curly hair who throat punched that kid.
Yeah,
like there was something wrong with him.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, is every one of these characters that she eventually recruits is damaged, including Phyllis. That's her real name.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Phyllis,
but I mean, you know,
her character's name is Betty.
Yeah,
but
she's even. I mean, she's like severely damaged.
Oh yeah,
but the way that Prairie's manipulated into stuff, and then she manipulates it to her advantage.
Right,
and you're like, okay, I'm liking the way this is going, and then you find out her story, and the cool thing about this, and I don't want to spoil that, but the cool thing about it is. The story starts with the hospital. It goes through. You're introduced to the kids. You're introduced to the teacher. And then the story starts.
Right.
In the middle of the episode, the credits start rolling. And you're like, wait, what happened?
What up? Hold on.
I literally had to rewind it because I was like, did I miss something?
Did I fall asleep in the next episode?
I felt like
start?
I did.
So what you're talking about is when Jason Isaac shows up.
Well, no. Jason Isaac
or
doesn't even show
episode,
up in that episode.
Anyway.
No, you had the Russian from Daredevil playing her dad.
Yeah. So,
it's a cool story that has a lot of layers to it, and you find out, like, you start to find out what she is because she's not normal, and she never was,
and never will be.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, and that's why I don't want to spoil it. Mm-hmm. I do recommend this show. Like, highly recommend this show.
I definitely
recommend this show higher than Stranger Things.
Well, you know, of course, I'm going to recommend this higher than Stranger Things.
Yeah, you didn't like Stranger Things.
I did not like Stranger Things.
Yeah.
But you're right. I was not.
You didn't like it, but you didn't like. You didn't dislike it.
I liked the end of Stranger Things.
Sure.
And I think if Stranger Things never came back for a second season, I'm perfect.
Like, it was a good,
satisfied
single
with that
story, right?
With that 8-episode arc.
Right.
And the
OA
that
has to come back.
Dude, the end of this series, and I'm going to curse, which I don't do a lot,
yeah,
is fucked up.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And at first, I'm like, did she raise a dance troupe?
Well, yeah.
And then it's like, okay, what we just learned.
Right.
Is any of this real?
Well, and the thing about it is the way that, I mean, you could
is
call,
she like a Kaiser Soze type character?
She teaches them something that ties to her origin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Katras, I guess. Is that what they call like a martial arts thing?
Kata.
The katas.
So
she teaches them these 5 katas that's supposed to raise your awareness.
Well, which is why this episode is called The Sixth Movement.
Right.
Because.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's. By the end, you're like, where's this going?
Yeah.
By the 8th episode, you seriously are going, where's this going?
And
when it gets to where it's supposed to be going, because she keeps having dreams
right,
that she's not sure what they are. By the end, she has
she
the dream and realizes
dream
what's
or, yeah,
happening.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes her dad, lets her out of the house because they've been holding her pretty much
hostage
in the house, lets her out, and she starts running down the street. Well, meanwhile, a bunch of crazy stuff's happening.
The other people
that she's been telling her story to
and have
teaching,
at this point, like, kind of drifted apart.
Yeah. But they come back together.
And
it's
the
coolest scene ever.
When they pop up.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Yep.
And then,
that's what I was like, I'm sold.
Like, yeah.
I was sold.
I think this show was superbly written.
Yeah.
I think Hap.
Yeah.
Jason Isaacs' character was my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Mainly because he's not wrong in what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's wrong in the way he's going about it.
Yeah.
But he's not the only one
doing
this.
Was
when
cool.
you learn that, and it's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the sheriff's wife was, that whole thing came from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need more of this.
You just need to.
Now,
I mean, this is a series where pay attention to
this
it.
Show is slow.
Yeah.
It starts out slow.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't pick up until the last 25 minutes of the last
episode.
Well,
see, I felt like
that's
the
where
first
all the excitement
episode
is.
Was slow in that first part.
Yeah.
And then when she starts telling the stories, when it picks up for that episode, because you're like, oh, okay, so there's more going on than we know.
Yeah. I feel like this was deliberately paced.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah, it was. And that's probably why it was only 8 episodes.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
The just the shots are amazing. The I'm going to spoil one little thing.
Sure.
Because when we meet Hap for the first time, she's playing the violin
in
the
subway. Yeah.
And she's blind, and he asks her if she's Russian.
Yeah.
Because
the way she plays. Right.
And then he's like, he takes her to dinner. He buys her oysters. She doesn't like oysters. He buys her French fries. And he's like, why don't you come back to my house?
Yeah.
And it's like, don't go back to his house. You're going to end up in a cage.
Right.
And what happens?
And which we already know
but it's like, it's not even that. But then he like takes her on an airplane ride.
Or like,
so we think. We don't know.
This is unusual.
But, and then when they're walking down the steps, I'm like, okay, she's either ended up in a box or a well.
Right.
One of the two. Now, I did not expect the other 3 people to be there
with
her, but wow. I mean, just the...
So instead of a box or well, she ends up in a terrarium.
No, it was... I like to view it as the Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
She was the pie piece that was put into her.
I didn't even think about that. It does kind of look like that, too. It just looked like, you know, the old terrariums where it's like the plants grow and the water runs underneath them.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's a cool design.
The dude with the dreads, was that Scott? Was that his name? Or
I don't remember. I'm
I don't
sorry.
Remember the name. Like, again, like, it's her name, her mom and dad, and then Homer.
Yeah.
Are the only people whose names I really, like, that they really, like, give you in Hap, obviously. But,
And Hap's not even his name. That's, like, a code.
Yeah, it's, his name is Hunter Aloysius Percy.
Yeah.
H-A-P.
Right.
So, But yeah, it's one of those things where...
Well, and by the time you get toward the end, you question if his name is Hunter or if he is a hunter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Well,
Paz Vega is in this.
Oh, yeah.
And but it's like where is she been?
Everybody's damaged. You know? Everybody's damaged.
Like, again, non-spoilery, these are all people who have had a near-death experience or what Hap calls an NDE.
Yeah.
And because of that, he believes there is a special circumstance where he can make something happen.
Right.
Based on their physiology and their experience and their willpower to live.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I don't feel like I can say anything.
You're going to ruin it for people.
This is definitely a must watch.
Yeah.
I recommend taking your time with it.
Oh, yeah. I said
I know
a week's
binged
fair
it.
Enough.
You watched
it
in 2 days.
I needed to watch it.
I really enjoyed, and I told you, this was slow going for me.
Yeah.
In episode 3, I texted you and I said, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Which is about how long I give things.
Sure.
I enjoyed watching it, sitting with it for about, 20 hours.
Right.
And then coming back to it.
Right.
Now, I will definitely watch this again and probably with a finer tooth comb than I did the first time around, just because. But yeah, awesome acting, awesome writing, and the music.
Yeah.
The music was crazy.
It's one of those things where
and
if
it's
I
not
watch...
like it was this overwhelming score. And a lot of times the lack of music,
it was very subtle.
When they pulled all music out,
the subtlety in the whole story is what sells the story because it's very fine-tuned to, bring you in, but make you keep going, what the hell is going on? Yeah, so. it's just one of those ones where it's I feel like, and I've recommended it to people, and it's one of those things where that's definitely what sells it for me is if I recommend stuff to you, then,
But I mean,
I don't tell everybody to watch everything, even though I watch everything.
Yeah, we both watch a lot. Yeah. But all right. So
check out The Crown too. The Crown actually is good.
That's on my list too. But Death Race 2050 was actually, as ridiculous as it is, Manu
if you've
Bennett
seen the original
so
Death Race.
I've watched them all.
Yeah.
So.
But the
Corman,
thing.
The Corman ones are good. And Perfectus. Oh, so funny.
Yeah, I see Manu Bennett was in it. I'm like,
he's Frankenstein.
I'll watch it.
He's Frankenstein.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's such a good movie. Okay, so the OA. Or the OA. Sorry. I did that on
Think
purpose.
Of it as an O.A.
I get it. Or the O. No, I'm not going to spoil that.
When she tells what the OA stands for.
Anyway, it's when she told that, I was like, come on. And I'm like, okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so... Go watch The OA. It's on Netflix. Add it to your queue. Give it 5 stars when you're done. Come back. Tweet at us. Let us know what you thought about it.
Yeah.
Email us, contact@infospodcast.com. We are really, really interested. On that note, this is the end of the show.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Do you have anything else you want to say about it?
No. I think we pretty much, without spoiling it.
We don't
spoil it for people.
Go tweet about it. Just tweet how much you liked it or disliked it, but do not spoil it. But
tweet at her and say how awesome it is.
I mean, you guys can hear the excitement in our voice.
Yeah.
When we like something, we really like something.
I'm glad you liked it. That was one of those ones where I was like,
this is right up my alley.
Yeah.
My problem with Stranger Things was the adult characters.
Yeah.
I hate it when adult characters aren't adults.
Right.
Nancy.
Whereas in this one, the teenage characters were very adult, but they were.
But Nancy and Abel were exactly what you would expect elderly parents to be when their
adult
daughter had disappeared for 7 years.
Yeah.
Phyllis Smith was exactly how you would expect an adult in her situation to act because her thing was heartbreaking.
Well, right, yeah. And that's where I'm like, I'm glad that they used her because, know her from The Office
from
and we know her from Inside Out. And it's like one of those things where neither one of them came to mind when I was watching her in this.
No, not at all.
Like, she's still a sad character.
When she popped up, it's like, oh, sweet, it's Phyllis.
Yeah.
And not Phyllis from The Office, it's Phyllis.
Yeah.
She's in, what was the movie she was in? Bad Teacher.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. I remember her in that.
But anyway, okay. So on that note, you can find us at infamouspodcast.com. We're on social. We're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at Infamous Podcast. You can also find our Patreon out there, Infamous Podcast, patreon.com/infamouspodcast.
Uh-huh.
We have some cool, we have some really cool things out there. If you guys want to pledge some money, and we want to use that to go do more interviews, and track people down and harass them at comic book conventions with our aimless wandering.
I try
questions.
Not to harass people at comic book conventions.
Well, you know what I mean. So with our
you end up on Bleeding Cool with a weird title. And, you know,
we want to harass the people from Bleeding Cool. That's what we want to do. Anyway, my name is Brian Tudor. I'm on most social networks as Brian Tudor.
I'm Johnny Podorf. I'm the JP.
On that note, because I don't want anything else after that, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later. We'll be right back.